Mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this Reformation Sunday is taken from St. John's Gospel account, the 8th chapter. Beloved of the Lord, 499 years ago, when Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the church doors in Wittenberg, he wasn't just making a statement. He wasn't just issuing an opinion or putting forth some pious idea about how he thinks things should be in the church. Not at all. Luther was making an assertion, the first of which read, when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, repent, he willed that the whole life of the Christian be one of repentance. Luther was following the Savior's pattern. For when Jesus in our gospel text this morning said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, Jesus made an assertion. That's what truth does. That's what truth is. Truth is an assertion of reality in the face of its denial. Jesus was asserting the truth of his word and the power of the gospel to set captives free. And he was asserting that truth in the face of those who would justify themselves. When Luther nailed his 95 theses, he was making an assertion of the word of God in the face of those who would justify themselves with their works of penance. Jesus didn't say, do penance, as Jerome translated so long ago in the Vulgate. But Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In asserting the truth of God's word in the face of its denial, Luther ignited what has been called the Reformation of Western Christianity. And though some may dispute whether it was a reformation or a restoration, there's no disputing that Luther's assertions challenged the common understanding of the Roman teaching of how a person is saved. How a person is justified before God. The Roman Church didn't like Luther's assertions any more than the Jews in our text liked Jesus' assertions. Our world is no different today. You see, in our fallenness, we would much rather assert ourselves. We're by nature slaves to sin. We're bound, heart, head, hand, and foot, to the law of unrighteousness. What does this mean? Means we're sinners by nature. And as sinners, we do sin. All who sin are slaves to sin. There's no one who does not sin, no one who does right, no one who is righteous. All have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. Yet, asserting ourselves, we try to justify ourselves before God. We want something to offer to God, some good work, some warm feeling, some pious intention. Then we want to be affirmed, congratulated, praised for it, both by God and by our neighbors. We want parades celebrating our struggle to be ourselves. We want governments to endorse our behavior. We want parents to accept us and all the skeletons in our closet. We don't want anyone to challenge us. We don't want anyone to assert anything different. We don't want to hear about our sin or our impending death. We certainly don't want anyone telling us that we need to change. You know, repent. Such an assertion in this day and age offends us, makes us uncomfortable, chases us away. So much so today that many of our college campuses offer safe spaces so that their students don't have to hear such assertions. This isn't just those people out there. This is how our human nature reacts to God's assertion that we can't save ourselves, that we need to repent and believe the gospel. Why else do many who call themselves Christians not come to church or don't come regularly? Why else do many of our own members stay home and deny their need for God's mercy delivered in the means of grace? Why else do few, if any, ever come to private confession? We don't want to hear about our need to repent. We certainly don't want to hear it from other sinners. We want our relationship with the Lord to be just between Him and ourselves, our own personal Jesus, a me and Jesus only spirituality. Such a desire is from our fallen nature. That's not how the Lord operates. There is no such relationship with the Lord, for the Lord works through means in His church, making use of fallen sinners like this guy to assert the truth of His word. He won't allow you to assert yourself, your works, your intentions, your emotions, your anything before Him. To do so would be to allow a slave a place at His mansion. And a slave does not abide in the house forever. The Jews needed to repent and believe the gospel and abide in the words of Jesus. Rome needed to repent and believe the gospel and abide in the words of Jesus. You need to repent and believe the gospel and abide in the words of Jesus. There is no other way. It's for this reason Jesus asserts His word. Asserting His word, He's asserting Himself. He is the eternal Son of the Father, the exact icon of God made flesh. Whoever sees Jesus sees the Father, and apart from Jesus and His word, there is no way to the Father. As the Son, Jesus and His word are the power of God unto salvation, for Jesus is the gospel made flesh. And the gospel is the word and promises of Jesus. There is no gospel apart or without Jesus. There is no gospel without Jesus' words and works. In our fallenness, we're always wanting to include our own words and works. That's a return to the law. A return to slavery. We need to be set free. We need to be liberated from our sins, and only the Son can set us free. Only the Son has power to liberate sinners. This power is exercised in the words and works of Jesus alone. He alone was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, without any spot, stain, or blemish of sin, original or actual. He alone fulfilled all righteousness, lived according to God's word, and was perfect in every way. By His word, lepers were cleansed and demons were exorcised. By His word, lame legs came to life and darkened eyes were enlightened. By His word, ears were opened and tongues were loosed. The greatest assertion of the Son's power to liberate came not in mighty works or miracles, but in humble submission to His Father's will. In humility, Jesus surrendered Himself into the hands of sinners. Though He was a Son, He became a slave. And by His weakness, He has overcome all that would have dominion over you. In suffering, Jesus purchased for you paradise. In death, Jesus destroyed the power of death. For the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. And so by His resurrection from the dead on the third day, Jesus has become the victor for which all the redeemed hail His name. It is the word of Jesus that delivers His works to hearts like ours who are ears. And this word is proclaimed right here in His church. And if the church gets the word wrong, then they get Jesus wrong. And if hearers get Jesus wrong, they don't get the gospel, but they get some other kind of news. That's why Jesus says, if you abide in My word, the truth will set you free. And that's why Luther made his 95 assertions. That's why the church remembers Reformation Day. And that's why we are here this morning. We are here to lend our ears to God's word, to God's gospel. Jesus' word is all about setting captives free, liberating slaves, renewing sinners. Luther's Reformation was all about repentance and faith, a return to the word and promises of God in the face of humanity's spiritual innovation. This word, beloved, is most clearly spoken in absolution. Yes, repentance includes confession. We must never forget who we are by nature. That's why we Christians assert the judgment of God's law. As Luther says, we must never endeavor to obtain such purity that we no longer find ourselves as sinners. As long as we have breath, as long as this heart beats, we are sinners in need of Christ's mercy. repentance is a call to believe the gospel. Those sweet words of consolation that the Almighty, Holy, and Righteous God has atoned for your sins through the death and resurrection of His Son. By God's law, we despair of ourselves. And by God's gospel, we're set free, absolved, forgiven all our sins. The wages of sin is death, that is true. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Gifts aren't earned, merited, or deserved. They're simply received. God's gifts of salvation are received by faith and by faith alone, in Christ and in Christ alone. Receiving the word of Jesus, you receive a new status. No longer are you slaves, but now you are sons. And if you're sons, well then heirs of eternal life according to the promise. So beloved, when Jesus says, if you abide in my word, he's calling his disciples to continue receiving his word. To neglect God's word is to lose God's word. Mm-hmm. To lose the word is to lose Jesus and the sonship he's bestowed upon you by grace. To lose Jesus is to become again a slave. The human heart without Jesus will always seek to fill those voids with idols. The most common idol is self. Therefore, beloved, the call to abide in Jesus' word is a call away from self, to deny yourself, and to reject that most ancient of heresies, namely that you can be like God, choosing for yourself what is right and wrong, good and evil. And to follow Jesus' word is to daily take up his cross. Remember your baptism into Christ's death and resurrection. Remember that you are not a slave to sin, but are a son of the Most High God. In the world, you will suffer weakness of body and soul. You will grow weary and faint because of the brokenness of this life and the depravity of our culture. Long-established institutions will fail you and even persecute you, yet in our weakness, the Lord's word remains strong. In our fallenness, the gospel stands as our only comfort, and even in death, the Lord has promised life to those who believe in his Son. Therefore, beloved, abide in the words of Jesus. Hold firm, remain steadfast, double down on him who has proven himself time and again to be God and Savior for you. In the Word, you are freed.